podcast for witches, intersectional feminists, and Wiccans alike, with a focus on current events, witchcraft, paganism, and life as a person of color, aka my day-to-day life. Before we get started, just some basic housekeeping. If I research something or have done research, it will be cited on the blog post with a corresponding title. I will be using the terms Wiccan, pagan, and witch interchangeably, but only in reference to myself because I identify with all of these titles. This does not imply that they are the same thing. And I love being able to make my podcast and blog for you all, but this podcast will sometimes contain ads to help me pay for necessities in college. If you would like to support me and my work and minimize the need for ads, please go to anchor.fm/wiccantations and hit the support button. Starting at as little as 99 cents per month, you can subscribe and help me financially. Any donations are greatly appreciated. Thank you. This is a Tea and Tarot episode. This means that I will be talking about anything related to reading and or interpreting tarot cards. Hello, hello. Oh, that was dumb. I'm sorry. That's my ringer. I turned it on and I forgot to turn it on, so we're gonna turn it off right now. So it doesn't do that anymore. Okay, yeah, I think it's off now. Hello, Merry Met. And blessed be, welcome back to Wiccantations. It has been a minute. It's been a hot minute. I screwed up. Again, I'm human. I have not updated my Instagram page. I have not updated my Patreon. I have updated Jack. I haven't updated anything. I've been tired. I've had finals. I've had papers. I've had projects. It's been a lot. I've been recently considering getting into, for lack of a better term, Afro-spiritualism, so African faith, so looking at practicing with orishas, and also just some I've also been dabbling a little bit in chematism and Adinkra symbols. Adinkra symbols are, I want to say West African, don't quote me on that, I might be wrong, but they're African symbols that each have their own meaning, saying and definition to go along with them, and they mean a lot to me because they were a very important part of my transformative process, which was in middle school. My middle school teacher used them a lot, so learning to work with those, learning more about Kemetic symbols, learning about Maat, which is balance, Eye of Horus, the symbol of Isis, things like that, the Ankh. Ankh is a big one. I've been drawing Ankhs and Eyes of Horus everywhere, so I don't know what's up with that. I feel like it's definitely a symbol of me to things that I need to look into in my life, but, you know, we'll get into that later. Dating life hasn't changed much. Sad, I know. Still going strong. Has it been 4 months? Yeah, it's definitely been 4 months. 4 months and 10 days now. Don't ask me why I know the exact date that I asked her out. It's fine. Still haven't kissed her, which is a little sad. Still haven't acknowledged the fact that I am very much a person who speaks through quality time and physical touch. And haven't discussed it. Need to discuss it. I'm too awkward. So that's fine, too. But I'm human, you know? Prepping to go to New Orleans. I'm looking into maybe finding a mentor while I'm down there for my faith and for tarot readings, so especially because it's New Orleans, so it's not just like anywhere, there's really a place where like you find this kind of thing, so I'm looking into that. Also, I'm looking into some of these festivals. Oh my god, like Red Dress One, Voodoo Fest. Y'all got Lil Louisiana going on down there, which is Lil Wayne's festival. Like, he's got him, Lil Wayne, Travis Scott, Trey Songz, Megan Thee Stallion, Saweetie, Cash Doll, this lineup, Lord, my black is coming out. My blackness is coming out in full force, and I can't take it. I've also actually been doing a lot of wrestling with my identity. I may go into it in more in depth in another episode, but kind of just, like, what it means to be black. versus what it means to be African American versus what it means to be Afro-Caribbean, and which one of these identities I claim and which one of them like I work with, you know, and kind of developing myself and developing my sense of self-identity, and also, you know, how I want to carry myself taking forward, because like now that I'm not gonna be home as much, like there are gonna be a lot more things, not like I'm gonna like go crazy and completely like disrespect my parents and like throw all their rules out the window, but like, you know, there are little things that are that I want to look into for myself, because I think it's an important part of me that I don't really feel as comfortable doing as at home. So take, for example, you know, being a little more comfortable with my body, wearing clothes that are, I don't want to say, because they're not, like, I'm trying not to get into body shaming and slut shaming language, but like, clothes that are a little more revealing, that show a little more skin, that show a little more of your figure, that are a little tighter, that kind of thing, you know. Because I've been coming to realize that, like, I'm very much okay with that, but part of the reason I'm not okay with that is outside ingrained issues from society and from my family. Not that this was, like, intentional, but, you know, like, if you wear something too tight, your parents may be like, oh, don't dress like that, like, that's too tight on you, or you're showing off too much. And, like, they're saying it with the best intentions, but they don't realize how that affects you later on. And so now I'm starting to try to untangle some of that for myself and to try to understand who I want to be. So I've been, like, getting into wearing crop tops more. That's been something that's been pretty cool with me. I've been getting into, like, being okay with wearing, like, just a bralette out, because that's something that I like to do. That's something that I'm okay with, because I've come to realize that, like, inherently as a person, I'm very comfortable in my own skin. It's more what everyone else has put on me that has changed that about myself. So, like, I'm also looking into starting therapy, looking into doing that through BetterHelp, which is a whole other, you know, a whole other thing. We're doing a lot. We're doing a lot. We're looking at a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. I don't really know what to say outside of it's a lot. It's a lot to think about. It's a lot to work through. But, you know, I'm trying to get better at these cards. So, we have... Wow, did I literally just forget how many cards are in a tarot deck? Did that just happen to me? Did I just experience that? Wow. It's 78. I was about to say 52, and I was like, that's just incorrect. There are more than 52 cards in this deck. I don't know what this is. It's 78. There are 78 cards in a tarot deck, and today is May 28th. We're not going to count that. We're not counting this week, because easy... Ooh, I'm sorry. I'm human. That happened. Because easy numbers, so let's do a little quick math here. Quick math. I'm going to go with 30. Because I'm not trying to be messy right now. So we're going to go with 30 days in July. Plus another 30 days. Sorry, 30 days in June. Plus another 30 days in July. Plus about 15 days in August. Gets me to about 75. So I may be doubling up some days. Or maybe condensing some. I don't know. We're going to work it out. But what I'm going to try to do. Again. Hopefully successfully this time. Is get through the whole tarot deck throughout the course of like my summer months, because by the time I go off to college, I want to be in a better place spiritually, and one of the main places I find that is through my tarot deck. So I want to get a deeper connection with it. I want to get a better understanding of like, yo, what's going on in my deck, what's going on with these cards, and I don't want to have to rely as much on outside resources to tell me what the meaning of the cards are, you know. Like, I do a good bit of it based on my own intuition, but I want to be more off the book, and I don't want to do, like, traditional, and, like, me, I'm looking into, like, designing my own deck at some point, you know, so, like, that's also a very important part of this journey. So, like, I want to get off the book. I don't really want to do it on the book as much. So we're starting off this series. I don't know why. Something about today has all of my African American vernacular coming out. I think it's because I've been talking to my Black friends a lot today, which is fine. Like, everyone code switches. If somebody tries to tell you that not everyone code switches, they're wrong. everyone code switches, but like only black people can get in trouble for code switching. Sorry, I just like blanked on you real quick. Okay, you know, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, so if a white person, if you, a white person walked into an office and said, "How are y'all doing?" Like, people may brush it off or be like, that's a little unprofessional. A little unprofessional, but whatever, you know? But, if I walk into an office and say, "Hey, how are y'all doing?" Like, someone's gonna pull me aside and be like, "Mika, I think you need to use a bit more formal language. Like, you need to use a bit more formal language. Like, I don't really think that this is appropriate right now." That kind of thing. So it's like, that's the difference in code switching that you kind of have to take note of. Sorry, I went on a little side rant again. Also, it's hot, so you may be able to hear me fanning myself in the audio. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. It is what it is. So, the major arcana is where we're going to start our little journey. The major arcana are exactly what they sound like. They're the big dogs. They're the major players. They are where it's at. Like, you, if you get a number card that says, "Hey, you're happy," that's one thing. That's like, all right, it's cute. Like, maybe somebody bought you ice cream. Or maybe you wore a pair of earrings that you like, you know? And then if you get a face card that says, "Hey, you're happy," but still part of the normal deck, part of the minor arcana, that's like, yeah, you're really happy. Like, let's say you went to your favorite store. Let's say you went on, I don't know, like a shopping spree. Or, like, let's say, like, you wore your favorite outfit or you went to go dancing. So, it's, like, a little, it's not as small. It's a step up and you're still happy. But it's, like, it's not peak, okay? Major Arcana is, like, opening your email to find that someone nominated you for a $15,000 scholarship and you just got it. Like, Major Arcana is blow your house down. Big stuff. Big stuff going on. It's like the landmarks in your life. It is huge. So basics of a major arcana, to start with, there are 22 cards. Do not get it twisted. There are 22 cards. If you get a tarot deck that does not start with 0 through 21, okay, because you need to have a 0 card. 0 cards are not debatable. The Fool cannot be the first card. It doesn't work. You need to throw that deck away, or, like, you need to return it, okay? It needs to be 0 through 21, period. I personally don't like decks that mess too much with the original system, partially because that's a lot of new learning that I have to do. And, like, if the deck is worth it, I'll do it. But, like, I also don't like it messing with it too much is because, like, I'm afraid that, like, messing with the iconography and some of the meanings will take away from the weight of the cards and from the original intentions behind it from the original creators and artists, okay? And we don't want that. You know, you want to make sure that, like, the meanings stay the same. Like, you can't have, I don't know, like, the Nine of Swords, which is, like, despair, suddenly being, like, the Nine of smiley face emojis. Like, it doesn't work. Or the Nine of Koalas. Like, koalas aren't happy or pretty happy. Well, I don't know if they're happy because I've never really known, like, talked to a koala. But the point is that, like, the symbolism of that is, like, very happy, upbeat, and that, like, takes away from the weight of being, like, a Nine of Swords. Like, if something sounds like a Nine of Swords, you're like, "Oh, okay, this is some heavy stuff." Or, like, Ten of Swords, you're like, "Oh, God, this carries a lot of weight behind it." So, things like that. But yeah, the major arcana is basically the bigger energies in your life, the bigger events that happen, like anything that's major. It's not something that's minor. And then it has, like, pretty much the best and the worst of, you know, everything. I mean, they're just hard-hitting cards. Like, either they're going to slap you in the face with a check, of however much money you need, or they're just going to slap you in the face, period. But either way, you're getting a slap in the face with these cards. So, quick rundown. Oops. What am I doing? What did I just do? What did I just do? There you go. Okay. So, card number 0, because you have to start with 0, is the Fool, which is the card we will be examining today. But we'll get back to that. This is also just the basic Major Arcana intro episode, because we're combining them into one today. So, we're going to go, because I just don't want you guys to just have, like, a 15-minute episode, you know? I don't like it. Well, it would be, like, 20 minutes total with everything else that I do, but, like, I don't know, you know, I just don't want you to just have, like, a 15-minute episode. I want them to be at least a solid, like, 30 minutes to an hour, maybe more than an hour, you know? I don't want this to be, like, light listening. So, you have 0, the Fool, 1, the Magician, 2, the High Priestess, 3, the Empress, 4, the Emperor, 5, the Hierophant. Hierophant? Hierophant? I say Hierophant. I don't know if that's correct. Sorry, I just coughed into the audio again. If it's not correct, you can always just Google Major Arcana 5 and it'll come up, so close enough. 6, the Lovers. 7, the Chariot. 8, Strength. 9, the Hermit. 10, Wheel of Fortune. 11, Justice. 12, the Hanged Man. 13, Death. 14, Temperance. 15, the Devil. 16, the Tower. 17, the Star. 18, the Moon. 19, the Sun. 20, Judgment. And 21, the World. So lots of cards. Let's get started with number 1. Also, while I'm doing the series, I won't be doing much regular updating, and that's partially because I have just, like, nothing to say right now. I'm not really doing any additional research because I'm tired. I'm tired, folks. I am tired. That, and just also because, like, you know, I want to let you guys talk to me a little more. That's kind of where I want this to go, so. Yeah, it's all good, though. Alright, so, first and foremost, we have the Fool. I will be using the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, which is the original tarot deck. It's one of the most popular editions. It's between this one and cloth. It's not cloth. I'm sorry. Let me apologize right now. It's definitely not cloth. It's Tallycroft deck, I think. I'm sorry. I can't remember the name right now, but it's something like that. It's something along those lines. So that's the other deck. I have not heard many good things about it. People have different opinions, but one of the reasons I have not looked into that deck is because I hear it just generally has a lot of negative energy, and Aleister Crowley was also racist and a misogynist. I have not done research into whether he actually was, but from what I've heard, from the hearsay I've gotten, and the various not-so-various communities that I look at, that I'm in regards to divination and that kind of thing, they're like, yeah, he's a racist and a misogynist, and practiced a lot of misogynoir, which is specifically racism, a combination between racism and sexism against black women. So, we're not here for that. We are here for that energy. That energy will not be existing in this house. So, I don't mess with that deck. You do the research. You look it up. It's up to you. It's not about me. But for me, I don't do it. All right, so back to the cards. Card number 0 is the Fool. So, looking specifically at the iconography and, like, the drawing of the card for the Fool, so I'll get into what the reference book I'll be using says in a minute. But you have this guy, right? And he's standing on this cliff, and you can tell that, like, he's looking as if he's about to walk off this cliff, for, like, walking to the edge of it to bask, you know? You have the sun behind him, but he's also looking up at the sky. So he's not looking at the sun. He's looking in the opposite direction of the sun. He has one of those little stereotypical PAX things that you used to see in cartoons where it's like a really long stick and it has like a little handkerchief that you put food inside of and everything tied at the end. Those things that you used to see in cartoons, like you used to see it in old Looney Tunes cartoons. I say that as if I grew up in the generation that like actually watched Looney Tunes and I didn't, but it's fine. He has the pack in his right hand and it's resting on his shoulder. He has a flower, a white flower, in his left hand. What foot is that? I don't know if I can tell what foot that is. I think it's his right foot. I think his left foot is firmly planted, but his right foot is like lifting up as if he's about to take another step forward. And then he has a dog leaping around his heels. And then I presume that's a mountain range. So there's like a little mountain range also behind him. So what I'm taking for this image is definitely the image of a journey, period. Like you're just going somewhere. Like you have a walking pack, you're literally walking, you're like looking out, you're on the edge of a cliff, so something is about to happen, right? So you know that. And take it to the zero card, there's no other number but zero. Like there's only, the only way you can go from zero is up. I mean, yes, there are technically negative numbers, but you can't have negative cards. Right, I mean, okay, people can take cards away from you, but that's not the point. Like, inherently, you cannot have negative cards. So, the fact that it's the number zero and he's looks as if he's about to go on this journey is significant. Looking at the dog, I can't tell whether it looks ready to go with him or whether the dog is acting as, like, no, you need to stay. So, I guess if I remember right from what I've read before, not specifically in the book that I'm about to reference, the dog is supposed to be like, the dog is like trying to hold him back. So based on that assumption, he's looking away from the dog. Like he's not paying a single bit of attention to this dog. So I think that's like ignoring anything that's trying to hold you back. You know, like you're on this journey and you're ready to walk this road. The sun is behind him. And, you know, I'm really trying to figure out the direction of the sun, whether that would be considered east to west. Because if the sun is setting, I think that really emphasizes the, like, new beginnings aspect of it. Because the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Or is that just on the northern hemisphere? Ooh, I didn't think about that. No, I think everywhere in the world, the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Don't quote me on that, though. But, like, yeah, so just the idea that, like, you're really going towards a new beginning where the sun rises, where things are coming up for you. You have a flower in your hand, which, like, I'm not 100% sure what the flower means, but it looks good, you know? The flower is like, okay, this is good. We have at least have this one beautiful thing in our life. And he's ready to walk off this cliff. And there's not a lot of emphasis on the fact that it's a cliff. Like, the fact that it's a cliff just seems kind of, like, slightly offhand. Because it's very low in the image. It's very, like, it's still, there's still a good bit of cliff, so to speak, left for him to walk. So it's kind of like, yes, you're about to walk off a cliff in the sense that you're about to take a leap of faith or start a new journey or do something. I don't want to, drastic. But it's not a cliff in the sense that, like, this is the scary thing and you're about to fall to your doom. It's like, no, this is a cliff and just about, like, you're just taking a leap of faith. And then you have the mountain range in the background, which makes me kind of think of, like, new horizons. You know, you're going to new places. I think I pretty much got anything. Yeah, the pack is traveling. Flower, I have no idea. Sun, I presume, is also, like, new beginnings. Mountain range, you're going to a new horizon. Cliff, you're about to take a leap of faith. Dog, ignore the people that are holding you back. The fact that he's looking up is also like, keep looking forward, keep looking to the heights that you hope to achieve at some point. Like, this is not about what's behind you right now, this is about where you're going. Alright, what it says in the book. The creation of something new is not accomplished by the intellect, but by the play instinct acting from inner necessity. The creative mind plays with the objects it loves. Carl Jung. The terms are freedom, risk, impulse, trust, naive, inner child, ignorance, adventure, joyful, child, journeyer, precipice, unhurt, ready, new soul, beginning, bursting, enthusiasm, unprepared, blind faith, ignition. This is from, sorry, I forgot to state the book. It's from What the F is Tarot and How Do I Do It by Bakara Wintner, owner of Everyday Magic, with illustrations by Autumn Whitehurst. The card meaning. The Fool symbolizes the leap into incarnation. As card zero, he is an outlier of the major arcana, the beginning before the beginning. A sponge, a blank slate for the experiences laid out for him in the following cards. Possessing the energy of the newborn, the Fool is both cosmically connected, new enough to hold on to the memory of the divine oneness from which he came, and fearless, possessing no knowledge of the world he is about to step into, and therefore too uninformed to be afraid. Oh, okay. See, this is why looking at other things can be helpful. Sorry, coughed again. But like thinking about it, the Fool is looking up in the cards, which means he's not looking down at his feet, so he cannot see where his feet is going. So he's about to walk off this cliff, but he doesn't know that he's on a cliff. He's like, I'm just walking. I'm going about my day. So it's like that's that fearlessness. Like, so you can't be afraid of what you cannot see in that sense. So he cannot see that he's on the edge of the cliff. So he is not afraid of the fact that his next step will be into thin air. Or next few steps will be into thin air. Traditionally, the Fool is about to take a leap off a cliff. Most depictions include a warning symbol cautioning him against a leap, commonly in the form of a dog nipping at his feet. The warning does not come from us. It is not our intuition or inner voice. It is a collective warning of societal programming, learned fear, and deeply ingrained self-doubt. Embodying the energy of the Fool is an act of self-trust so radical that it allows us to take risks that may seem crazy to others. When we align with the Fool, we do not doubt ourselves, even if it feels like we should. He invites us to set aside our pride and everything we think we know in exchange for the possibility of a new beginning. However, this is not always appropriate. This is not always appropriate action. The question we must consider upon meeting the Fool is, when does it serve us to go into a situation unbiased, and when is it wiser to make the decision based on our experience? While a Fool has many merits, he is entirely devoid of wisdom, and therefore his fearlessness can put him in danger if employed in the wrong circumstances. So I think because I use reverses, and I also use reverses slightly differently, I don't remember whether I've explained this before, but I use a subjective reverse, that's what I call it, where basically, like, if the card shows up reversed, I will take its meaning in the context of the entire reading. So then if it's like, okay, all the other cards, if I do a 5-card reading and 4 cards are like positive, happy, great, and then I have one card, not a major arcana, part of the minor arcana, that's like, no, here's this negative feeling, I'm going to take that negative card with this grain of salt and either assume it's a fluke or assume it's reversed, because, you know, not everything applies to every situation, for one, and then just also, like, the cards are not infallible. They're subject to our own impulses and to our own understanding. So because of that, it is possible for there to be a flaw in the reading that you kind of just have to work around. You know, not every reading is going to be go exactly the way you want it to. And, yeah. Okay. In my experience, the Fool represents a risk worth taking. Symbolizing pre-creation and cosmic consciousness, he awakens our spiritual memory and prepares us for new opportunity. We are likely to surprise ourselves here. So used to using our ego as a compass, the Fool activates a completely different navigation system. Every cell in our body longs for this unexpected journey for which we have no roadmap and no destination. Our bones are buzzing with purpose that we cannot fathom with our mind or articulate with our ego. And yet, we must jump. To defy this instinct is to defy life itself. There are hints, feelings, and inclinations this step is right, but nothing is quantifiable. This is why a Fool has historically represented madness and insanity, because his choices defies logic and reason. He's total impulse, pure spontaneity, and eternally leaping into the present moment. So in summary, the Fool is a leap of faith. Sometimes that leap of faith will go exactly the way you want it to, or will even pay off more than you expected. And sometimes that leap of faith will be to your detriment. You may have made the wrong decision, but that's what makes it a leap of faith. You have to put your trust in fate, your trust in destiny. I really want to look at the difference between fate and destiny. Sorry, that was a sidetrack. You put your trust in fate, and you let the universe guide where you are going to land. So it is no, once you take that leap, until you land, it is no longer about you and your wants. It is about what the everything else that's occurring around you is doing, and that is what matters. So take that into consideration when you guys do your readings, if you ever get the Fool card. Don't let it, pun intended, fool you. You know, don't let it lead you astray. Always make sure to examine all the other cards you get it with, unless it's a one card reading. Take this card, take every card you receive, the Fool or not, with a grain of salt, and make sure you think through what meanings you're pulling out of it. Double check with online resources, thoughtco.com, I think is what I've used before, is also a good resource. Grab a tarot book, find someone else that reads tarot nearby to you. If you're super concerned about what the answer you got, double check it with someone else. There are also lots of Facebook communities and that kind of thing. That is my profile on the Fool. Merry met, merry part, and blessed be. Hey, back again. Quick note, I forgot. Two things. I'm considering changing my name again, but I put more thought into this time, so I'm cycling between Astra, Rhea, and Theo. But Theo would be short for Theodora. So if you have any opinions on these, let me know. DM me on Instagram, which I have not checked in forever, and we'll go back to trying to check regularly. Comment something on my Patreon. I will also be going back to updating that regularly. I'm a hot mess right now, it's all good. And you know, let me know what you think. I also got a new sponsor segment, so if that sounds different, that's why. The sponsor actually pays a little bit more, which is exciting for me, because that means more cash in my pocket, which means there are more things that I get to buy for myself, for friends, for family, and more things I get to buy, that means more episodes I may get to make, because I also get to buy witchcraft-related stuff for myself. That's all. Peace out. Have a good day. Good vibes only. Feel free to contact me by email at wiccantations@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram at the handle wiccantations. That is spelled WICCANTATIONS. If you'd like to learn more about my opinion on these topics, please visit my blog. The link is in the bio. I am doing bi-monthly anonymous tarot readings. If you would like to submit a question, please email me, DM me, or contact me through my blog with anonymous tarot reading in the subject line. If you would like to guarantee a tarot reading by paying for one, feel free to contact me for more information.